Morning. So this is Espresso from the Angel Swing Count, and let's get started. We are happy to have another episode of the Angel Swing Weekend Chat, and this time we are very happy to have Kalo as our guest and hear a lot more about his content production, the tools he's building, his journey so far in digital art, and a lot more. So let's start with hearing from Kalo a bit about your background and how you came to digital art and found Tezos.
Yeah, first of all, very happy to be here. Thanks for having me. And yeah, so my background, I'm a computer scientist. I worked in the tech industry for around 8 years. As a software developer, data scientist, and also as a product manager. And around 3 years ago, more or less, I quit my job to start working on my own company, more like my own stuff as an entrepreneur. So my first, let's say my first rodeo was a company about AI and human resources, and that didn't work out. But I was lucky, because when I was working on that, I had a lot of time. And that's when I discovered Web3. So I knew crypto for a while. I knew crypto coins. But I discovered Ethereum during that time. And I was interested in the whole ecosystem thanks to smart contracts and NFT. I would say I joined the space thanks to the technology. And I had, as I said, I had a lot of time in my hands, and it was hard to find information about this and the technology and what was happening. So I started the newsletter. I started Kalo's newsletter early on. It was a hobby. Basically, I was sharing what I was discovering, what I was learning. Didn't have a specific focus. It was about NFTs, but nothing in particular, not very specific. Yeah, I started to write weekly. I kept the consistency there. And at some point, I had a decent amount of subscribers and I started to take it more seriously. And I think it was also around that time where I was figuring out what I liked, what I was more passionate about. And since my background was in technology, it made a lot of sense, or I really enjoyed writing about generative art and more recently about AI art. So I took that topic, that niche, and then just focused on it for the centerpiece of my content. And yeah, I've been writing for 2 years and building the community, different topics. But I would say the main topics are artists, the art, I've been doing artist interviews, and also the analysis, right? The market analysis, what's happening in the industry from different perspective, right? I think on one side, it's like a historic perspective, what's happening, what's moving, what are people buying, what are collectors interested in. And also from another perspective, there are also a lot of readers that would like to understand what could be valuable in the future, what pieces are going for more like value of the artwork. So I try to also do that. And yeah, I've been very happy to see you guys in the community. Espresso has been a subscriber for a while, big part of the community.
Thank you. Yeah, I have been a subscriber, as you mentioned, a while now. I'm very happy to hear also that you started this newsletter quite early by the 3 counts, right? And been producing continuously, and it's great content, and would recommend everyone to subscribe and read up. And also curious to hear if you can kind of talk briefly about how you do research to produce this content. What's your process like and your favorite sources, and how do you come up with these topics?
That's a good question. So I will say it's a mix of things. It's also a routine that I've built. So basically, I have a very curated Twitter. I have Twitter lists where I have different lists. Some are with artists, some are with platforms, and some are with collectors. And I still see my timeline, my Twitter timeline, and see like randomly what's happening. But I also try to jump into those lists every day and see what people are talking about. I think a lot of the things happening, you can see them on Twitter. That is not like a centralized place to see that. And I bookmark a lot of things so I remember in the future. So it's like an everyday job, just like scanning Twitter, bookmarking things. That's a big part of it. I guess that's 60% of the research. Then another part is just navigating through the platforms, FXHash, ArtBlocks. Now there are many galleries, Bright Moments. Tonic has been growing very quickly, Wild, that XYZ. So there are many galleries, platforms. And I just do my own research. I just get into my computer, navigate those platforms, and take notes on what I like. And then the third component, I will say it's my community of readers and all the artists and collectors that are subscribed to the newsletter and that are on Discord. It's fantastic because they share a lot of information and they usually are very good at spotting new stuff, which is impossible for me to do alone. So I pay a lot of attention to the community members. Sorry. So those three things, I think, are the components of my research.
Yeah, that's great. And yeah, very much enjoy being part of that Discord as well, as the collective community bringing up lots of interesting things to pay attention to. As a side note, since you mentioned Twitter, and it sounds like it's a fairly big part of the research process, how have the changes to Twitter the last few months affected you and the research you do?
That's interesting because I think the changes that happened over Twitter, I haven't them like from one day to another. I think it changed slowly over time. So I remember when I joined the space 2 years ago, there was just a lot of hype. A lot of people tried to get into crypto, trying to get into NFTs, trying to get into digital art for different reasons. But it was like, yeah, like the Wild West. There was just too many influencers, too many things happening on Twitter, which made it easier to grow an account and get followers and get an audience, even if your content wasn't that good or wasn't that researched. But I noticed how, for some reason or another, that kind of the Wild West is slowly disappearing. And now there are a few accounts that you can follow. There aren't that many people sharing content, sharing news, sharing art. So it's, I think, better, actually, the at least the digital art Twitter. It's more relaxed. It's not really about selling that much. It's not really about people promoting their stuff as it was like 1 year or 2 years ago. So it's a more relaxed place, more calm, which is great, I think. Then there are different topics about Twitter, like politics, what's happening with Elon Musk. Yeah, in a way, that probably isn't attracting new audiences. That's what I guess. In recent months, I've been exploring other platforms, right? What are the alternatives? And I think there are different places where I've seen artists and collectors starting to gather around, but none of those have the same reach as Twitter, right? So from positive or negative, the changes to Twitter and what's happening with crypto and the market has made Twitter more livable, right? Like a more calm place, which is good. Nevertheless, probably for a growth standpoint, if you are an artist, if you are a platform and a marketplace, it's not like it was 1 or 2 years ago. But for me, as a curator, as a writer, it's been good, actually. I have like my lists. I have couple of people I follow that I trust, and it has made my job in a way easier, right? It's easier to spot the things. Not sure if that's because of Twitter or that's because of the space in general, which seems like has slowed down a bit. And again, I think it's a positive thing. If you're looking for high quality art, high quality platforms, good projects. So I think in general, it's a positive thing.
Okay, yeah, that's good to hear. I was expecting that it was harder now, but that's a nice development. And yeah, you're right. It has certainly slowed down, probably because of the market and the fact that we're in a bear market at the moment. But yeah, it's good that there is still interesting content being posted, because sometimes it seems like people are stopping to post altogether, and that's obviously not great. I was also curious, you mentioned you've explored other platforms, and there's a dozen other networks by now. Any of them that stand out as having potential?
Yeah, that's it. On your point about people tweeting less, that's a good point. I also would like to hear your thoughts, right, on the changes of Twitter. Maybe let me talk about the platforms that I've been exploring, and then I would love to hear your thoughts on that. Because maybe there are some things I haven't noticed. But the platforms, so new platforms, I've been using Lens, Lenster. So Lens is a protocol, right? You need a handle to access it. It's like an NFT, like an ENS. And then they are creating a protocol where users own the data, they own their profiles, their followers, and developers and companies can build around it. It's early days. But I do feel like there is, in general, Web3 enthusiasts, and there is a lot of developers in there. But I think it has potential. It, of course, it's not like Twitter, not the same amount of people. But what I like about it is that it's around Web3 and the philosophy behind crypto and decentralization. So I will recommend you explore it, and everybody in general, try to get a handle, which is not that easy. We had a giveaway on the community a couple of months ago. It was a good way to get in. But if you pay attention and you follow their news, you probably can get a handle and try it out, because at the end, they want people to join. And then besides that, Lenster, I tried Mastodon for a bit. But it's just complicated with all the servers. I didn't find it used. Like for a global network, I think it's more niche for specific communities, maybe 50 people, 80 people. And it's great, for example, for artists, Mastodon, because you can get a server with a few artists, generative artists or AI artists, and just support each other, share news. But not as a Twitter, more like a global scale, like a huge audience builder. And then besides those two, which are like decentralized networks, just the traditional ones. In January, I started my Instagram. And it's a great way to discover artists, right? I guess because of the visual aspect, I've been discovering many artists that are huge on Instagram and maybe not that big on the Twitter, right? But on Instagram, they have an amazing profile where they can showcase their art. So yeah, Instagram, I think there are a lot of bots as well, a lot of spam, but you can find pretty good art and artists there. And then I don't know if it will work out, but I've been exploring LinkedIn recently. I just think in LinkedIn, there might be possibility to discover these art professionals that work on galleries, that work on the museums, curators, collectors, probably. So I feel like there is a group in LinkedIn that is interesting, and it's probably like a blue ocean, right? That a lot of people haven't explored yet. But of course, for art, I haven't noticed many posts. There aren't that many artists there. But for collectors, maybe. And for institutions, I think there is an interesting area or space to explore in terms of institutions. Yeah, I'm curious, what have you noticed about Twitter in general? What has changed for you over the past months? Very curious to know your thoughts on that.
Yeah, so first of all, fascinating to hear, for example, about LinkedIn as a potential source. I think when it comes to Twitter, the main problem, so to speak, over the last few months have been the changes to the feed, where suddenly people that were popping up in my feed are no longer shown. And people have talked about how they, for some reason or another, don't get the visibility for the tweets that they used to get. And of course, with your approach with putting together lists, that sounds like a great way to work around that and not be dependent on the newsfeed algorithm. And there's been all kinds of workarounds. Turning on notifications for certain accounts is a way to make sure that you can still follow the content. It's just been a chaotic past 6 months in terms of what tweets are shown, and not very reliable from, at least that's my experience so far.
Yeah, I follow the stats, the analytics on Twitter. Yeah, I agree that the reach has decreased. The followers in general, I track followers every month. It's slowed down. But I wonder if it's really Twitter that they have been playing with the algorithm, or if it's more like the space. It was growing super quick, 2022, 2021. I wonder if just a natural thing for crypto and NFTs more than Twitter. We will have to wait and see what happens. But yeah, you're right that the numbers and the tweet reach has decreased. I agree with that, yeah.
Yeah. And June?
Yeah, I think what Carlo mentioned, the slowing down of the space, it's the thing that we all experience. I think 2021, everything was just growing fast and you connect with lots of people in a very short time. But right now, lots of people either already left the space or are about to leave, and there are very few new people joining the space. That's probably the reason why we see the slowdown of the accounts. This is something, yeah, we will need to wait out.
Yeah, I mean, what we will know is at some point, let's say if there is another ball run, like how they call it, we will see what happens with Twitter, right? Because we will know once there is a bull run because of the numbers, the volumes, and then we will understand if Twitter goes back, at least for those in the crypto and NFT space, to those days where the breach was much massive, or if it stays like now. So it would be a good way to understand, okay, is it something with the algorithm? Is it something that they are doing that they did with the way tweets are shared? Are they paying more attention to ads now rather than organic, for example? But yeah, at the moment, it's like the two things happen at the same time. In one side, you had the interest of crypto and NFTs going a bit down, together with Elon Musk taking over Twitter and all the drama that happened with political and, yeah, the buying and selling of Twitter, and then, yeah, all these things that has been around, the politics in USA. So we will have to wait a bit until crypto either has another bull run or things change to understand what the real impact on the changes on Twitter has been for the space. Because for me, I didn't use Twitter as much as now before, right? Like 4, 5, 6 years ago, I was not really a Twitter user. And I joined Twitter daily 2021, thanks to crypto and NFTs, because this was the only place where you can share and where you could find people interested in the space. So I guess, yeah, we'll need to wait a bit and see the changes and what happens with in terms of reach and the users, all those things. But to identify if it's changes on Twitter or if just the market and the people in general interested in the space.
Since we're on this topic of the bear market, how has this affected the artists and the art community as far as you've observed?
I think, yeah, there are a couple of effects. So now only a few can sell big collections, like over 200, 300 pieces. It's very hard to see the minting huge collections in 1 minute, 2, 3 minutes. It's not really the common thing, which I think is normal, right? In the past, that was like you could see that every day. Every other day, you saw 300, 500, 1,000 pieces, both in digital art or PFPs being sold. So that has changed. And so I think now we're in a phase where the expectations, people now understand that's a new normal. And so both for artists and collectors, right? That's the new expectation, which is, I think, positive, right? So people, collectors can focus on collecting what they like, not necessarily to, they are not faced with these decisions that they need to decide if they want to sell something because the price went up incredibly fast, right? So that's not really happening. Way less speculators, right? And for artists, it's good and bad, right? So it's bad, of course, because there are less sales. It's not easy to sell these days, even if you are art blocks, even if you are Bright Moments, right? Everybody is having a more difficult time to sell. So the focus is more on quality, and it's a good thing, right? So artists now can take it slow, can focus on their art. If they were counting on this, their sales to leave, that's probably a rough time. But if they had a strategy and if they are really here because of the art, I think it's positive in their long term for their careers. They can really make a plan and release what they really like. So there are positive points. And we still see big sales, right? Fidenza just sold for $1 million last week. We still see Bright Moments selling out all their mint passes. And even small galleries like the Black Gallery, we sold out 150 pieces last week on an AI collection on Tesla. So there are still sales, and it's still an industry, which is great. There are collectors that are really here for the art. And the good thing is that, in general, if you look at the economics in the world, we are in a rough time, right? I read the other day, Germany was going into a recession. So it's normal, actually. It's not really because of crypto or NFTs. It's a general problem in the world. So it's good to learn from this. And I see positive signs in general.
Yeah, you're right. It's definitely bigger than just Web3 or crypto issue, the things we're seeing. So yeah, but at the same time, as you mentioned, a good opportunity to learn and to work on the art and slow down a bit, because it was admittedly very hectic in periods in the last couple of years. Like, there's been some very crazy periods, so it's good to slow down a bit sometimes. I also wanted to talk a bit about Blind Gallery. I don't know how much people know about the concept and about the collections and artists. Why don't you tell us what Blind Gallery is and talk a bit about your experience with that through several rounds of launching art collections?
Yeah, so the concept basically is to put the art first, not really the name or the hype behind the artist. So we showcase digital art, we preview it, we tell the story about collections and the hints behind, if you are interested in who made it. So it's like a collecting experience, and collectors can collect because of the art, not really because of the names of the artists. It started around a year ago. It runs on Tezos. We have worked with over 50 digital artists, both coded, generative coded art and AI art, although we also worked a bit with different mediums like traditional art. There were some artists that created art manually, physically, and took a photo of it. So we have explored different ways or different mediums, and we have around in total over 1,000 collectors. And we have also the club, the Blind Gallery Club, which is like the big fans, the ones that are very passionate about the Blind Gallery, and they get access to pre-sale and a couple of benefits like early previews. They also can support us by curating future galleries blindly, so they can vote for artists to be part of the Blind Gallery. So just by looking at the art, at the previews, and okay, yeah, we would like this guy to be in. And we do that every 3-4 months. We have voting rounds, and then we invite those artists to participate. So there are different things happening. And we had 2 weeks ago our first limited collection which was the first time we had one artist at the time. The previous editions, we had a group show with multiple artists. So in the future, we'll have group shows and solo shows. The next one, we will announce it actually Monday. So next Monday, tomorrow, we will announce the next collection, which will be a coded generative piece on FX Hash. And I'm very excited about that one. I think it's extremely well done. And it's going to be 100 pieces. So it's a small collection. And yeah, that's the main concept. And the goal is to grow the concept, grow the club, and release collections every now and then. So we could do 3 per month, but sometimes it takes more time. So we take 2-3 months to prepare a solo show. And the schedule for this year, I mean, we have been working with over 10 artists. So you can expect a lot of art being released by the Blind Gallery, but there will be like limited collections, right? Not like big drops of 100, 500 pieces. It will be 200, 150, 100 pieces collections in the near future. The website is blindgallery.xyz. You can find all the information there.
Yeah, that's great. And so the core concept is that people don't know who the artist is. They have to decide based on the art itself, right? And one question there is, how have artists experienced being part of that and kind of having to keep it a secret that they made it?
Yeah, I think it's interesting. So the comments, what I hear from artists is that they are really happy to release their collection with the Blind Gallery because they don't need to. It's like we take care of the promotion and the marketing. They cannot help us, right? They cannot be sharing on their socials, unfortunately. But at the same time, it's like a relief for them, right? Because it's a very stressful part of being an artist is promoting their work. And we take that part, they enjoy that. And also, some really struggle with the hints and the guessing game because some collectors are very good, right? And they discover who the artists are. And sometimes it's very incredible to see how they make the connections to the artist. So some struggle with being quiet and just not being, you know, they cannot reply. They cannot say, no, it's not me, or yes, it's me. This is a struggle, but it's like a fun struggle. They enjoy the process. Also, that's more when the show is happening, right? But before, when we are preparing the show, when we're preparing a new release, many of them really try to play with the concept, right? So they take their art and they try to do something that's symbolic or maybe try to put hints into the collections so that it's not easy to find, to discover who they are. But if you know them well, you're a big fan, you might be able to discover them. So I think for artists, that's something that they enjoy and they try to incorporate in their art, this mysterious and the hinting, and they try to leave hints in their work. And I think it's a big part of it because the art that's created for the Blind Gallery has some special things that they wouldn't incorporate in their practice if it wasn't because of that occasion. So I really enjoy working with them. And it's, yeah, fantastic to see how they create such pieces, thinking about that aspect.
Yeah, it's very fun to be part of the process as well and try to guess, which is obviously very hard. But yeah, very fun. And yeah, we have a question from Casper.
Yeah, hi, Carlo. Thanks for joining us today. One very obvious question is, why did you choose Tezos over another chain like Ethereum for the Blind Gallery?
I think there are multiple reasons. So one is because I started writing about different chains, right? Early on my newsletter, actually the first articles were about Ethereum. I have also covered Solana, NFTs. But at some point, I needed more content, right? Write about things that I enjoyed. And I just found infinite content or things that I enjoyed on Tezos. So I kept writing about it, right? I kept writing about FX Hash, Hiket Dunk, so many artists, collectors. It was really like a strong community. And then it just made sense when we came up with a blind gallery to do it on Tezos, because a big part of the audience was in Tezos. Also, I enjoyed the blockchain, the community. And then the gas fees were low, was felt more inclusive for the blind concept, right? For collectors to be able to collect, for artists to participate. So I think it made sense back then, but still it makes sense to do it on Tezos. But by the way, it doesn't mean we actually, and something we haven't announced early on, but we are preparing a couple of drops on Ethereum, for example. So we are happy with Tezos, we're happy with FXH, but there might be some releases on Ethereum. We want to explore that possibility. And there are also some artists that would like to explore Ethereum, some artists that prefer to do it on Ethereum, other artists prefer to do it on Tezos. So we want to be open and explore multiple options, but the core, like the club, FXH for generative art, we are really happy to work on that platform. So the core will still be Tezos, but we will try Ethereum, see how it goes, and also as a way to get more eyes into the blind gallery, get more collectors that might be interested in the concept. But yeah, that was the main reason why 1 year ago we decided to go with Tezos, and we're still happy with Tezos and many options as well. But we have our options open. We just want to share the concept and get more collectors, artists involved. That's our main goal.
Yeah, it definitely makes sense. It was quite a natural response after hearing your explanation, because I went on your blind gallery website and I saw that it wasn't technically linked to Tezos. So you could always add your drops to another chain quite easily. And of course, to our listeners, you heard this alpha first on the Angel's Wing podcast. All right, that's it for me. Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah, let's go to June.
Yeah, Carlo, what are your plans for the future? Do you plan to bring it also to the physical world? Like, for instance, what Bright Moment is doing, creating physical events or even exhibiting in physical galleries?
Yeah, it's a good question. So I guess there are 3 points I would like to mention. So the first one is short term. So we are working on a couple of things. First is a couple of limited collections, right? So small collections from 200 or less pieces. We have, I think, 4 or 5 artists lined up for the next months. Then we also are preparing a solo show, a group show, like a typical blind gallery editions with over 4 or 5 artists. And I'm very excited about that one. We have an amazing artist curator as a partner, let's call it that way. And I cannot wait to share more about that, but it will take a few months. Artists already confirmed and they are working on that group show, which should be happening after August, probably. So that's like in terms of art, what we have coordinating, limited collections and group shows. Those are digital, but yeah, physical. I will really enjoy doing physical shows. It's just that I've been going to different shows, different parts of the world, Bright Moments, Vertical Crypto, different small shows. I've been to galleries in New York and had the chance to visit them. And it's really important to have high quality. They do an amazing work and they have big teams of over 10, 15, 20, 30 people. So I understand the challenges and I want to do something properly when we make it. I want to make it so that the artists are happy to be part of the blind gallery and collectors as well. With that said, I live in Spain. In Spain, there are a couple of cities that are very historically very prominent for art. So I've been exploring possibilities to do galleries in Madrid or Barcelona. It's nothing confirmed. We're exploring it, but showcasing generative art, AI art in Spain. I think that's something that I would really love to do. And I think that those cities that I mentioned could be perfect for that. But in general, the team, we understand the challenges. And we would like more to partner with galleries, established galleries, physical galleries that are interested in this new wave of art. And we providing more like the art, providing the artist, providing the experience. And those galleries taking care of more the physical aspect, like the show itself, the how to place it, how to present it. So that's something we are working on. And I hope, I'm not sure, I don't have any date for that physical shows, but I would really love to do one this year. So that's something that I have in mind. And I think it's possible. So more like a showcase of a blind gallery in Madrid or Barcelona, I think will be amazing. So those are the main things we are working on. And then there is a third one, but I cannot really say anything about it. It's a secret at this stage. It's related to art. It's related to the blind gallery, but it's not a collecting experience. Something different that we think is necessary and I think will be great for the space. But I cannot mention, as I said, more details about that one, I guess, in a couple of months, probably. So yeah, as we are working on different things for the blind gallery, different, let's say, projects underway. And yeah, very excited about it and see how it all comes down and how the collectors react.
Very exciting. I think being in Spain, you're also perfectly located in the physical scene.
Yeah, there's a lot of history about art here. And I think I haven't seen many shows in Spain. And I think it would be great to showcase a blind gallery here in Spain. Madrid or Barcelona would be amazing.
Yeah, can't wait to hear more about that. And also a follow-up question to this is, how are you seeing traditional artists starting to embrace digital art, or at least considering, or are these two parts of the art world still fairly separate, as far as you see it?
To be honest, I'm not sure about the traditional artists. I still think NFTs probably will be for some time a taboo topic. There are still many media, many news out there, which are talking about the good things about NFTs, just focusing on the speculation, the scams. So still for established traditional artists, I haven't seen a change regarding that. But what I've seen is for sure much more interest. Two things. One is digital artists starting to do more physical work, might or might not be linked to NFTs, but they are creating physical stuff. They are happy to be in a physical show and exploring. If you have seen William Mapan, if you have seen Iskra, Sankan recently, they've been doing prints and they have been working with the galleries, which help them to bring these prints to life, very high quality prints, very hard to achieve. So that's a new trend. And I think it's natural and will continue to happen. And also I've seen galleries and traditional galleries, which are very interested in the space. I saw that in New York, and there are new emerging galleries in the digital space, which have a lot of tradition, or they have people working there, or the founders come from the traditional art world. For example, Verseworks. So Jamie Gold, the founder, he comes from the traditional art world. So it's an example of how they are coming from the traditional art world into the digital space, and that they are doing hybrid. They are doing physical and digital. And I just think it's more like digital going physical than physical going digital. That's what I've seen. Probably there will be a hybrid at some point and a mix of shows, but it's more digital going physical than physical going digital, what I had seen.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's a good observation. And Casper, yeah, question?
Yeah. Carlo, given your past research into the multiple chains that pretty much NFTs are on, like you mentioned Solana. I actually came from the background of Solana NFTs in my early days because ETH gas was just too expensive. And I definitely see there are different communities of NFT artists on not just Solana, but even chains like Phantom. And of course, now the slight craze is the Bitcoin ordinals. Where do you see the NFT market eventually settling to? Do you believe it's going to be mainly just a couple of chains like Ethereum and Tezos, one for affordability and I guess the culture, and whereas the other one is more for, how should we put it, the main stage? Or do you see it more of there's going to be a multi-chain world where each chain has its own niche?
No, it's hard to predict these things. The honest question is, I don't know. I don't think there will be like only one blockchain, to be honest. I don't see that happening. I think there will be multiple blockchains. what I can see at some point is more interoperability between them, maybe, if necessary. Maybe it's not necessary. So I've seen many people believe L2s are the future, right? Avalanche or Ethereum has Polygon. This sort of L2, they believe it's the future and that's what will be the core of activity. Could be. I just think it's at the moment very complex to transfer your ETH to these other, to these L2s and operating in L2s, just too complicated. I also feel like Tezos has a strong foundation. Many big fans, many fans around the world. I think it will grow, but even if it doesn't grow, I think the community might keep it alive for a while and naturally more people will discover it, right? Yeah, I think it will be multiple blockchains. Also, I'm interested in Ordinals. I wrote about it once and I keep seeing statistics mentioning it's going up in volume, etc. I just haven't seen like a proper platform, a proper marketplace, like a proper solid community. So I'm very curious about Ordinals. I think there is potential there, but I still haven't seen these fundamentals like marketplaces, communities, big projects. Haven't seen that yet. But since it's in Bitcoin and there are many Bitcoin millionaires, Bitcoin is the most popular coin. It's a natural thing. Now, the technology might be challenging. Bitcoin wasn't created for that. It feels more like alternatives and that they are creating different paths to incorporate NFTs, which is fine. But yeah, in general, just to make a summary, I think there will be multiple blockchains. It's hard to answer, right? It's hard to predict what will happen. But I think there is room for multiple blockchains, to be honest.
Yeah, thanks for the response. I think it definitely makes sense what you just mentioned. I myself feel that Ethereum, to me, is the main stage, but I do see a problem in future when the bear market comes back, because even at this stage now, when we have NFTs and people are hesitating to buy NFTs or even do like simple transactions like sending NFTs or NFT financing, gas becomes a big consideration. And I think it can only get worse as our hope for the bull market to come back. And I'm not sure how this transition is going to happen. I'm sure given the creativity of the Ethereum community, they will find a way. All these fidenzas have to go somewhere. But yeah, I think it'd be really interesting how this all develops, because in the different communities that I've been part of, I do feel that individually, they're all nice, strong communities with good people. And of course, there are bad eggs as well, but I think each community can probably sustain themselves with the right spirit and values. But yeah, thanks for the response. Very insightful.
I think just to complement that, I think the blockchains in general, the technology is there. It's more about the apps, the dApps, and the experience, the user experience, and then people, founders, creators, creating interesting stuff. And then I think it's not really about NFTs. NFTs are there. It's the technologies like digital objects. It's more about the use cases that people come up with that attract at the end, like end users, right? Customers, users that need or want to collect these digital objects. So I think I've been writing about digital art, but there is a lot of potential, right? For different use cases. And then there could be blockchains specialized in those use cases like gaming, music, or communities, loyalty programs. There are many things that could emerge, but it's also about the user experience, I think, at this point, not necessarily on the blockchains themselves. Of course, the gas is important, but it's more about what use cases people want to build and people want, and then the technology comes after that, right? Not first. Yeah, I think there will be more use cases coming, more like a new trend, a new movement, some way, somehow in the gaming music industry. And then that will also shape what happens with the blockchains, not necessarily the other way around. That's, yeah, my thoughts on that. But it's hard to tell, right? It's hard to tell at this point.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. The user experience is key. And that's why I started in Solana first, because ecosystem was fun. A lot of crazy people around, but essentially it was very easy to get on board. big part of it was gas fees were cheap. You don't do one click and then it costs you like $100. Yes, completely agree.
Yeah, and one thing I also wanted to dive into a bit is this new tool that you've built called ColorSpace, and wanted to hear motivation for building this. And of course, you have been doing market statistics for a long time and written about that. How is this tool working and what's the role for this going forward?
Yeah, I've been doing market analysis and I spent a lot of time creating the spreadsheets and trying to understand what was happening. And I could automate the spreadsheets, right? Like it would have been easy to just grab the data, put into the spreadsheet and make the analysis. But I wanted something a bit better, more powerful, and that everybody could use. I have a background in data analytics, so I wanted a tool for myself to discover art and see what was happening in the market and understand it historically, right? Not just today, but in the past. And yeah, basically that's the inspiration behind it for myself, but also to write the content about it and share it with the readers and the community. And I felt like FX Hash, due to the massive amount of collections, is a platform that's growing, and how they have structured it so clearly, it was easy to, not necessarily easy, but it made a lot of sense to build it based around FX Hash. And then start to build or integrate other marketplaces. So the goal is to understand the markets, see the trends in an aggregated and easy way, and also see your collection, what you have collected, and surface the data from a different perspective as well, going into artists and see the data from the artists, from the market, all the collections they have done, the different pieces, maybe if there are outliers, some very rare art that people are really interested in. So basically that's the motivation. And the goal, as I said, is to integrate more marketplaces and to integrate additional features. Like I'm looking for ways how the community could interact, right? How can they help to curate in a way that it's not only the market, right? Maybe it's not necessarily the volume or the floor prices, maybe a way for collectors and artists to vote in a decentralized way, and then more artists have visibility. And yeah, besides the collections and the art itself, we also share articles, content about generative and AI art, and events, right? Events that are happening around the world. So yeah, that's the motivation and what we have at the moment. And the goal will be to integrate more marketplaces and that you can actually see the whole space, right? The whole generative art, AI art in one place.
Yeah, that's great. And I have to say also it looks really good. And it fills many of the gaps that the default FX Hash statistics have in a way, like in functionality. And also makes me think of a kind of theme of the last year has been more platforms and more marketplaces. If you follow an artist, you have to follow them around on different chains, different platforms. Has that also played into kind of the need for trying to aggregate this back into one view?
Yeah, definitely. You mentioned a great point there. There are just many galleries, many marketplaces emerging, and they are actually very good, right? If you look at Tonic, if you look at Verse, if you look at Wild.xyz, so there are multiple new players and they are actually doing a great job. And I believe it's because what I mentioned earlier, they have some founder or some people, some professionals from the traditional art world, and they understand how art works in a way, and they are making great products. And this is, in a way, for collectors, could be bad because now they need to, it's hard to find art, right? There are different places to look, but it's also good because there is more competition, right? And there is also more professionals helping artists to bring their art to the world in a more proper way, more professionally, better promotions, better ways to tell their story, also more real-life shows. And yeah, we need a way to see all this, even if we don't like centralization for collectors or artists and for historians and writers. We need a place to look at all this in a structured way, right? So that's another reason why this is needed. I think it's important for context, right? To organize the whole digital art space. It's too hard to tell the story, right? And too hard for everybody to navigate. And if we don't have a way to centralize it for discoverability, then those with more resources and better marketing will, in a way, grab the attention of all the collectors. And I think it's not ideal. I think the best possible way is for all art and all artists to be showcased at the same level as much as possible. So collectors get a chance, artists get a chance to be seen. It's also another way to put everything in one place and help artists, platforms, and collectors.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea and also very useful, both to put all of the statistics in one place and the lists of various collections, and also this aggregation of content that you're doing with showcasing various articles and events. So yeah, I recommend people to check it out. And it's kalo.space, right?
Yes, kalo.space, very easy. And now it's open to the public. If you want, you can connect your wallet. If not, you can still use it. If you connect your wallet, you can see your collection, and you can now aggregate more than one wallet to see a summary of multiple wallets together. And we are working, so hopefully next week there will be a bookmark, and also you can see the hot collections. So basically the artists and the collections you have collected, you will see those as a highlight, right? So you will first see what you have, not first, but you can understand what you have collected compared to what you haven't collected yet. So there will be a difference in terms of UI and bookmarks. So you can bookmark artists, collections that you are interested in, to keep track of those more closely.
Nice. And are you also planning to integrate kind of marketplace functionality itself, like buying listings, for example?
Yeah, you can already buy. You can buy from FX Hash, and it's sorted by floor price, but you can also sort it in different ways. That's already there. What we will do next is, besides what I mentioned, we are trying to integrate Ethereum marketplaces, art blogs, Bright Moments, Verse. Those are the next ones that we plan to integrate. And yeah, I wanted to integrate object.com and props from Tezos. The thing is, in props we could do that, but they're working on their API. It's a new platform, so it's not that easy to surface the data there. Object, the issue with object, they basically, it's old Tezos, right? So it's huge. And how do you curate it? Because in object, you can find photos, you can find videos, basically anything. So how to curate objects to only share generative and AI art, right? So at the moment, it's a tricky challenge. It's not easy. We'll first, at least that's a plan, to go first with the ones that are already curated. Art blogs, Bright Moments, Verse, and then maybe we go with AI, Braindrops, Mirage Gallery, and then object.com. We are curating probably based on wallets. There are some challenges, but long term, I hope over the next year, we have all the marketplaces we can, hopefully, and it should be a very powerful tool to bring context to what's happening.
Yeah, that's great. And can you imagine taking on the kind of the object catalogs? That's a huge one. And you mentioned focusing on generative art and AI art. So one final question here. We are about to wrap up. How do you think about these various types of art and the categories and the taxonomy? And the reason for asking is that, for example, mprops are in a way merging generative art and AI art, or they are at least using generative art techniques to produce the AI art. So what's the categories in your view, and how do you see this playing out going forward?
Yeah, it's hard. Actually, because there is no right or wrong, right? There is not clear definitions out there. As you said, right now, feels like anything autonomous is considered generative. Like 1 year ago, it was much well defined, right? Now with AI, it's okay. AI is a category, but now we see AI basically being integrated many places, right? There is not a clear answer. In a way, it's more the digital medium. It should be like anything. The goal for Carlos' space would be to have anything considered digital art in there, right, at some point. And I think the way to start is generative, what we call generative art, coded arts, FX hash, art blocks, Bright Moments have a mix. Then AI, and then a hybrid, and then anything considered, because you look at Xcopy, right? And that's not generative or AI art. That's just raw digital art, right? That should be there as well. Why not? And then what about photographs that are edited digitally? Why not? That should be also there. That's part of digital art. I think it's a matter of complexity and doing it step by step, right? So then it makes sense. And I guess it's also a way to shape the different categories while we do that, because at the end, who creates the categories? Who comes up with these names? I guess marketplaces and the artists themselves, right? So by incorporating these different places, these different marketplaces, we're tackling the different categories in a way, right? And that's more like technical definitions more than the art definitions, but could be a way actually, the same marketplaces creating all these technologies who are shaping the different categories in a way.
Yes, Andrea. So as we are wrapping up, again, I urge everyone to follow Carlo, sign up for the newsletter and check out Carlo's place. And anything in particular you would like to mention, Carlo, as we're wrapping up that we haven't touched on already?
No, I think what's very interesting, always great to chat about the movement, the space. Thanks for having me. And Espresso, thanks for being a supporter in the community. Always great to see you there chatting on Discord on your comments. If you are interested in the Blind Gallery, we will release a new collection, the preview tomorrow. Talos Space, we have some updates next week as well. And the typical from our newsletter, I have 3 articles coming next week. We'll keep writing 3 times a week. And if you have any topics, ideas, suggestions, I'm always happy to hear your thoughts. So feel free to reach out my DMs or in the Discord. It's for premium members. It's a monthly subscription, which is around $10, $12. And my DMs are open if you want to reach out directly. And also you can reply to my emails, my newsletter emails anytime. And yeah, happy to be here. Happy to have this chat. And hopefully we can have more of this in the future.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for joining and sharing your experience and wisdom about this space. Very grateful for that and for all the content you're producing. Yeah, with that, thanks everyone for listening in and join us again next week. In time.